to the skeptic of God's Word. There are two events in particular which they would like to disprove if they could. One of them is the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. The other is the conversion of Saul of Tarsus on the road to Damascus. And of course, try as they may, they will never be able to do so. For God's Word is truth, and it cannot be overturned by these puny men with their so-called intellect. The Lord Jesus Christ died. He rose again according to the Scriptures. And today He is alive, He is exalted, and He ever lives in the power of an endless life. And of Saul, there are not many who have never heard of Saul. Of course, he was to be renamed Paul. In fact, it is through his pen that the Holy Spirit has given us over half of the books of the New Testament canon of Scriptures. When we're brought to consider chapter 9 of Acts of the Apostles, then the opening verses reveal to us here that Saul at this juncture was by no means a supporter of the Church of Jesus Christ. Indeed, while the Apostle Philip went abroad, and he was in the midst of revival, preaching the gospel of saving grace, led of the Spirit into the wilderness and into various towns and cities, and he saw souls saved. While that was the case with Philip, on the other hand, Saul was threatening and he was persecuting the disciples of the Lord. That was his mission as he set out to the city of Damascus. He sought to persecute the believers there. But as we are well aware, of course, he was never to carry out his intention. Because on the way there, the Lord was to graciously reveal himself to Saul. And Saul was to be gloriously converted and broken and submissive to the power of Christ. He is heard to cry out, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" He was a changed man. And Saul, in due time, was to receive his commission from the Lord. But men and women, it is to the man who was to deliver this commission or this message from God unto him that I want us to look at this morning. There's not much said about Ananias. Yes, we came across an Ananias in chapter 5 of the Acts of the Apostles, but he's now dead. He's dead, he's in his grave, because he was a man who sought to deceive and he sought to lie against God. And just as we've studied Saul of the Old Testament, and we're brought now to see that God had a better Saul in the New Testament, then likewise we can say the same with regard to Ananias. Here's a better Ananias. Here's a better man than the one previous that we come across in Acts chapter 5. Because here is a man who was faithful to the Lord's bidding. I want you to see him this morning. I trust the Lord will apply the lessons to each of our hearts today. I want you to consider firstly the word from God. You see, following the death of Stephen, it was then that the believers went everywhere preaching the word. And the city of Damascus was no exception. For here we are introduced in verse 10 to this man, a man by the name of Ananias. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. We're told he was a disciple. In other words, what we're looking at here is a man who was saved. A man who was a follower of Christ. And that being so, I want you to notice his calling. God calls the unsaved to salvation. And through, he does so through the foolishness of preaching, by the way. He doesn't do it through entertainment. He doesn't do it through some gimmicks of the world. God has ordained through the foolishness of preaching to save them that will believe. And that's why we're going into Venice, to preach the gospel. He calls the unsaved unto salvation through the preaching of the gospel. He calls his people to separation from sin. He calls his people to supplication, for we are to pray. And he calls his people to sanctification, as we were reminded even in our youth rally on Friday night. But he also calls his people to service. And that's what Ananias was to receive even at this time. He was to receive such a call for service. The Lord spoke to him through a vision. You will be aware, of course, that now that we have the complete canon of Scripture, that the Lord speaks to us through His Word. There's no longer any need for the visions. There's no longer any need for the prophets or for the dreams as God used in these times. Please consider with me that Ananias wasn't as privileged as you and I were, for we have the complete canon today. So God spoke to him through a vision. And in that vision, Ananias was to hear God calling him by name. You see, verse 10, Ananias, and to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias, and he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. For he is God, he knows each of his people by name. I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. Ananias. You know, this call to Ananias is similar to young Samuel in the temple. For in 1 Samuel 3, we read that the Lord came and stood and called, as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel answered, Speak, for thy servant heareth. And so we have here a similar willingness from Ananias. He says, Behold, I'm here, Lord. He was a Christian who was in touch with God. He heard the Lord speaking to him. He was a man who recognized the voice of the Lord. And he did so because he wasn't a stranger to spending time with the Lord. He wasn't a stranger to hearing the Lord speak to his heart. Some believers today, they can't recognize the voice of the Lord to their soul because they don't spend time with God. And then they wonder, what is the will of God for my life? What is the will of God for this, that, and the other? Here's a man who recognized the voice of the Lord. He said, Behold, I'm here, Lord. He was a believer who had a willingness to do whatever the Lord bid him. And if you turn over to Acts chapter 22, in the words of verse 12, you will consider there Paul's later testimony about Ananias. Look what he says about this man. As he recalls his testimony, and one Ananias, a devout man according to the law, having a good report of all the Jews which dwelt there. Paul, in speaking about Ananias, he could speak of him as a devout man, a man who was zealous of the things of God. Furthermore, he was a man who had a good report amongst the church, even in that place. Ananias was one called of God to be possibly the first Christian that Saul would be in conversation with after his conversion. He was a man whom the Lord could use. And his godly character and his attention to God's word, it wasn't lost in Saul. I wonder, what about you today? Have you such a testimony among the people? Have you heard the call of God for service? Is there a willingness in your heart to do what the Lord bids you? Are you that vessel fit and ready for the Master's use? Behold, I'm here, Lord. But I want you to see his command. For having intimated his willingness, he then was to hear what his charge was to be. You'll find it in verse 11. And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. Ananias, I want you to get up. I want you to go down the street in Damascus called Straight. I want you to go and find the house of Judas. And there I want you to meet a man by the name of Saul. And just in case you don't know who he is, he's Saul of Tarsus. I have a work for you to do. You see, the commands of the Lord were clear to this disciple. Here is a man who was clearly taught what God wanted him to do. There's no confusion with God. There's confusion in many circles today, but there's no confusion with the Lord. You see, here's a man, and the steps of this good man were been ordered by the Lord. He had an errand to meet with this Saul of Tarsus. He had a message for him to give him from the Lord, and the Lord was directing him right into his presence. How? You see, the Lord knows where each of his people are to be found. He He is the all-knowing God. He knows where those are to be found this morning who profess His name but are not in the house of the Lord. He knows where you were found last evening. He knows where you'll be found tomorrow evening. The Lord knows all about His people. Ananias, Saul of Tarsus is in the house of Judas. I have a message for you to give to him. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous. His ear is open unto their cry. He knows the soul in adversity today. He knows the one in distress. He knows the one who needs that encouraging word from Himself. He knows the soul that needs the arm put round their shoulder. God knows where you are today. What an honor this was for Ananias. He was to go to this man to give him a word in season, a word that would start him, that would commence him on the road of great service for God. Tell me, has not the Lord commanded you to be such? In the words of the little hymn, is your life a channel of blessing? Are you that vessel whom the Lord can use even to give a word in season unto some dear believer? But notice also that this word from God to Ananias concerned a convert. Look at the ending of verse 11. And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the street which is called Straight. Inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for, behold, he prayeth. It is as if God was saying to Ananias, if you've heard of this man, don't be afraid to go into his presence, for here's a man who's no longer a persecutor. But instead, he's one given to prayer. There's been a change wrought in his life. What's a sure indication of a true conversion? It is, behold, he prayeth. Behold, she's praying. A converted sinner will feel their need to humble themselves, to seek God's mercy, to seek His grace every day of their life, to seek His righteousness, and to hear it said of one, behold, he prayeth. It speaks more about their character and more about their standing before God than anything else. Real praying is a sign of a real conversion to Christ. And this Ananias was to be an answer to this new convert's praying. Look at the words of verse 12. And hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in, putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. You see, there's no contradiction with the Lord. For Saul here in the midst of praying for 3 days, he saw in a vision, God showed him a vision, a man coming to him, a man by the name of Ananias. And what Saul saw was the same as what God had ordained. For God was working on Ananias' heart to be that man. You beware of anyone who said to you that God told me such and such. Well, if God didn't tell you, then you can be sure that person's not telling you the truth. But there's no contradiction with the Lord. The name Ananias means whom God hath graciously favored. Are given. God in His grace and His favor had a man there whom He could send to Saul as a new convert. And I am absolutely convinced of this, of God's people, that God has us in this part of His vineyard and He has you where you are found in your workplace and so forth so that you may reach out. And that you may be a means not only of praying for souls, not only of seeking to win them for Christ and to see them saved, but you're there, God has you here, that you might be an encouragement to them that are converted. The greatest favor of God to this town or to any nation is a people who are walking and are obedient to His word. Are you that man? Are you that woman? Have you received such a word from God as Ananias did? Let me show you secondly here his reluctance. You see, with the word of God clear and plain to Ananias, and while he's a man who's in the right place with God, we cannot but notice that there was a hint of reluctance in his part. And you'll find it in verse 13. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he has done to thy saints at Jerusalem. Now you'll see that his reluctance was because of the reports that he had heard. The news had come to him of the sort of persecutor that Saul of Tarsus had been. It could well have been that Ananias had been in contact with many of the believers who had fled from his persecution. Maybe he was being that consolation to them in the midst of their persecution. Ananias was well aware that this man caused havoc in the church of Jesus Christ. The reports that he had heard were many. And while it is always wise to beware of hearsay and to be very cautious of rumors and to test them to see if they're true or not, yet the sense of Ananias' argument here is, Lord, the reports can't all be wrong. I have heard many reports about this man. And thereby there's reluctance. And to add to that, he was reluctant because of the reputation that he had. I have heard by many of this man how much evil he had done to thy saints. And that evil included persecuting the church. It included those who had forsaken the old Jewish religion and who had turned to be followers of Christ. They were now been persecuted. It included committing both men and women to prison. It included, by the words of the apostle himself, the evil of being a blasphemer and being injurious. He caused injury to the church of Jesus Christ. He opposed the name of Christ. He opposed the work of Christ. And whatever he did, whether it was against God directly or indirectly against his people, he did it with a despising spirit. There was venom. There was violence in his actions. That's the sort of reputation that this man had in his unsaved days. I want you to hear him speak of that in Galatians 1 in the words of verse 13. He said, For ye have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion. Now we read in Philippians, of course, that he was a man who was blameless as a Pharisee and according to their laws. Well, here's where it took him to. He says, you've heard all about my behavior in time past, my conversation, my conduct. How that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted that. That's what his intentions were. He pursued after the people of God in a hostile manner, in a harassing manner, mistreating them with one intention only, and that was to overthrow the Christian faith and to see the church of Jesus Christ destroyed. This man, in his unsaved days, he was going about doing the work of the devil. And the devil's crowd is still about that today. For it has always been the aim and intent of the old devil to destroy the Christ of God. It was his intent that he would destroy the plan of God's salvation right from the beginning of time until it was purchased and fulfilled by Christ upon the cross of Calvary. You look even at the sentiment, the cries that were abused and sent toward Christ as he hung on that cross. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 27, and the words of verse 40, it says, And saying, Thou hast destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. That's what the devil wanted to happen. He wanted Christ not to fulfill the plan of God's salvation. He wanted to come down from the cross. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. Likewise also the chief priests mocking him with the scribes and elders said, He saved others. A unsaved man in this meeting this morning. What a truth that is. Christ has saved others. He can save you. They spoke the truth here. He saved others. But they go on, himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross and we will believe him. And the devil's intent was that Christ would never finish the work of our salvation. But thank God he endured the cross and he despised the shame. And he sat down at the right hand of God on high. Why? Because he finished the work. He said, it is finished. He bowed his head. He gave up the ghost. The devil's still about disrupting and destroying the work of Christ. Having failed at Calvary, for there his head was truly bruised, it still is his intent and purpose to afflict and to destroy the church of Jesus Christ and its witness. The devil still uses his people to persecute, to cause havoc and discouragement amongst the people of God. And as you'll give out tracts, listen, there'll be those who'll turn away and say, I don't want it. And there'll be those who'll shut the door in your face. They're doing the work of the devil, you see. Don't be surprised at that. He's still about the same work. Maybe you can consider many churches in this land of ours today, and if there's a reputation among them, it's one of being providing a social center where another gospel is preached, and maybe some others are akin to an entertainment center. Or maybe they have the reputation of always contending against each other and being at each other's throats. Either way, the devil is having his way. And I want to tell you something, that ultimately the witness of Christ is suffering as a result. Oh, to ever have that reputation to be said of us. There's a church that preaches Christ and Him crucified. There's a church that seeks to preach the whole counsel of God. There's a church where your soul will be blessed as you sit under the sound of God's word. There's an assembly where there will be sweet fellowship one with another, and you'll be made welcome, and there's a warmth and there's a friendliness amongst God's people. Oh, for that reputation, men and women. For I delight to see visitors coming in, and we pray for such. And we pray that souls will be added into this congregation. But in doing so, I don't want people coming in here and saying, going out, that's a cold people. There's no warmth amongst them. I don't want them going out and said, I didn't feel very welcome there. And in that, you see, we've all a part to play. Did you speak to that soul who's a visitor? Did you say to them, I'm glad to see you, come back again? I want to see people in Mavinus. Listen, I've got to go out and we've got to be warming and we've got to be fellowshipping with them. Oh, for that reputation. Ananias, you see, didn't fancy going to see this man Saul because of the reputation he had. He could nearly have said, Lord, is there not someone else you could send me to? But you see, he was reluctant because of the reception he feared he would receive. Verse 14, and here he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name. Ananias is thinking, Lord, this man has caused much hurt amongst the people in Jerusalem, and he's come here with authority. And Lord, I'm one who calls upon thy name. He fears he would be like a lamb in the mouth of the lion. Maybe there was a deeper fear. And it was this, what good would it do to this man if I go to him? Would it be for any good purpose? In other words, would it be worth his while going to this man? For everyone knew the hard heart that he had, and surely it couldn't be softened. If there ever was a hardened sinner whom it seemed would never be changed, then I tell you, it was Saul of Tarsus. What his reluctance amounted to was a lack of faith. Not only in what God had already said to him, but also a lack of faith in the power of God to save such a sinner. I want to tell you, men and women, he can save the hardest of sinners. Did you think the same concerning that man or that woman on your heart? Lord, I'm nearly in that place where I see it's impossible that you could save him. Maybe even that loved one, maybe even that one you've prayed for years, and humanly speaking, it seems impossible that the Lord can ever soften their hearts and save their souls and change their lives. I put it to you, dear believer, this morning, that Saul stands as an example of hope and a cause for us not to give up praying for that soul. Yea, it's an incentive to go and reach the hardest sinners, as it were, in our very community, and to welcome them under the sign of the gospel. Listen to his own words, as I preached last evening in the open air. 1 Timothy 1 and verse 15, Paul could say, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." I'm the chiefest of sinners. And if God could save the one who considered himself to be such, then he can save and give a new heart to the hardened sinner in the town or in your family or in your street. Why do I believe that? Because I identify with the words of Jeremiah in chapter 32 and verse 17. Listen to this. "Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there's nothing too hard for thee." God spake this world into being out of nothing. The very heavens and the earth in the space of 6 days. Listen, is there anything too hard for him? Don't be reluctant to go to that man, to go to that loved one in your family, to pray on for them. Let me show you finally here the response. You see, the Lord was to dismiss his reasoning and his reluctance, and he was to reveal to Ananias that this same man was a chosen vessel who would bear his name primarily to the Gentile people, but also before kings and before the children of Israel. And how that was to be fulfilled in his ministry as he preached to the Gentile people in the cities and in Rome, as he stood before King Agrippa, and as he preached to others, and he preached Christ unto those in the synagogue. Verse 20 of our chapter, "And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God." But do you see what his response was? It was a readiness to obey. Verse 17, "And Ananias went his way. And he entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me, that thou mightst receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost." He went his way. He went right to that very house. He went in obedience to the command and the call of the Lord. What is God looking from his people today and every day? It is obedience. We're not all preachers. We can't all give out gospel tracts, but we all can be obedient. Where is the blessing in God to be found most? It is when we trust and obey. You see that there was a readiness to own him as his brother. Verse 17, "Brother Saul." You see, gone are the doubts and the fears. He calls him a fellow believer. He recognizes that he was one who had experienced the grace of God in his very heart. From being reluctant to being anywhere in his presence, he now gladly receives him as a brother in the Lord. Only the Lord could cause such a change in the life. Only the Lord can cause the barriers to be broken down. His response was a readiness to open his mouth and to deliver the message that God had laid in his heart. And we've read it there in verse 17. The content of that message is brought even out more so in Acts chapter 22, in that testimony of the Apostle Paul. Look at the words of verse 14. And he takes them right back to this room. Takes them right back to the day of his conversion, to the time when Ananias came into that room. And he's relating it now. And he said, the God of our fathers has chosen. And here's the message that God had laid on Ananias' heart. The God of our fathers has chosen thee, that thou shouldst know his will and see that just one, and shouldst hear the voice of his mouth, for thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. He had asked on the road, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And now he received the answer. He was one called of God to be an apostle, to be a minister of God. The criteria for being an apostle was one who had seen and both heard the Lord. And Paul, of course, had experienced that on the road to Damascus. He had seen the risen Christ. He had heard him speak to his heart. And he was to go forth and he was to be a witness unto all men that the Messiah had indeed come, that he had died, that he had rose again according to the Scriptures, and that he had ascended on high, and that he was the only Savior of a lost mankind. We all know how Paul was to go forth and fulfill his calling. How he preached powerfully Christ and him crucified of the risen exalted Savior. He was to see souls saved. He was to see churches established throughout the cities. What was his secret? It was this. That like Stephen, Paul had the testimony of a man full of the Holy Ghost. I know this. That being filled with God's Spirit is always in connection with prayer. We could read Acts 4 and verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. That's the early church. They prayed, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost. You want to be effective for God and have an impact on the souls of others, then you too need the infilling, the daily infilling of God the Holy Spirit. For Luke 11 and 13 reminds us, if ye being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, then how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Ghost to them that ask him? Let me ask you, are you filled day and daily? Do you desire to be filled day and daily? Oh, may God grant us to have the readiness of Ananias and to be faithful to the Lord's bidding and to know that power in our walk for God. We will only know such if we walk in the Spirit, if we pray in the Spirit, filled by the Spirit. We are unsaved this morning. God, the Holy Spirit is striving with you. Then, dear soul, I plead with you, don't resist his strivings. Your trouble of heart and soul, yield to the Spirit's strivings, because the Spirit will always lead you to Christ. And he always speak of Christ. And oh, that this morning that you would come in faith and repentance to the Lord Jesus Christ. Come and be saved. I trust the Lord will bless his word to our hearts today for his own name's sake.